Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Good morning to you, Bill.
Wendy, good morning to you. I wish so badly that the Illinois Secretary of State, Jesse White, was here, because there's so much I'd like to discuss with him. And magically, there he is.
It's my magic wand.
I don't know how you do it. Jesse, how are you? It's so good to see you again.
I'm doing great, Bill. And Wendy, nice to be on board.
You well, do not age.
No, you don't.
I don't know what you're doing. You get younger instead of older.
It's the tumbling.
Somehow. Is it the tumbling? It must be.
You have to be a tumbler rather than a stumbler.
I got to tell you, and I'm embarrassed to admit this, but I revealed on the air a couple weeks ago that tumbling and gymnastics was the only athletic thing I could not do at all. I'm terrible.
Yep.
Terrible.
Well, I was a gymnast as a kid. And I signed a contract play baseball for the Chicago Cubs. 4 days before going to spring training, I was drafted into the Army. And so I decided that while I was in basic training at Fort Lindenwood, Missouri, I wanted to learn how to jump out of airplanes. So I was transferred to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, where I went through jump school, did 35 jumps, came back to Chicago, put my uniform in a closet, got my ball band and glove, and flew off to Mesa, Arizona to be with the Cubs. And then during the offseason, I taught school during the day, worked for the Park District at night, was asked to put on a gym show, and that was the beginning of the Jesse White Tumbling
Team. Oh, wow.
Look at that.
In 1959. And I was a gymnast as a kid, taught gymnastics in college, taught for the Board of Education at Park District YMCA.
Where did you find the time to do all that? Seriously.
Well, I'm a former military person. I served military for 10 years. I go to bed at 2 o'clock every night. I get up at 6 o'clock every morning,
wow.
7 days a week. I believe that when my eyes are closed, I'm going to miss out on being able to be creative.
Sure.
Do something good for someone.
That makes sense. And tell everybody how many kids have been through the Jesse White Tumblers. It's amazing, the number.
About 18,000.
18,000 children.
And we have 225 now. We do 1,500 shows a year.
Yeah.
We've traveled to Zagreb, Croatia, Belize, Israel, China, Tokyo, Japan, Hong Kong, Honolulu, Hawaii, Honokai, Hawaii, 17 times to Canada, twice to Bermuda, twice to the Cayman Islands, 4 movies, 4 plays, and 25 commercials. And then 51 of my 225 young people are in college, and we give each one between $3,000 to $8,000 toward education. You can be a good athlete once you be a good student and a good human being.
Yeah, amazing.
That's just it. They need to keep their grades up to be part of that, don't they?
Yes, they also have to be leafless, spokeless, and pipeless. The only time they can practice pharmacy is after they've earned a white coat. That means no drugs.
Good for you.
And then they cannot drop out of school to become a part of SW, Sandwalk University, when they hang around the corners, get themselves in trouble with the law, go to prison. And it costs we, the taxpayers here in Illinois, about $35,000 a year to put one person in prison for 1 year. And I know who they are. You know who they are. And I'm going to try to save as many as I possibly can.
Well, think about that as a legacy. You have literally saved some of these kids' lives. You have put them on the straight path. That says a lot about you,
well,
sir.
Well, someone helped me along the path. And I espouse a philosophy of life, Bill, that says that when you come through this world and you become successful, you give back. But every day you must do something good for someone.
Yeah.
More people should think like that, I have to be honest with you.
Yep.
Well, a fellow by the name of Abraham Lincoln Maravich, a former judge, taught me that lesson. And Dr. King, the same way, he was my minister when I was in college.
Amazing.
All right. You are in here because there is a new campaign that you want to tell people about, because we don't know it unless it comes from your mouth. There are younger people that can donate their organs or tissue, correct?
Yes. See, I run the largest Secretary of State office in the nation, and the organ and tissue donor program comes under my jurisdiction. Here in Illinois, we have 6.4 million people who signed to become part of the organ and tissue donor program.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are 5,000 people on the waiting list as we speak, and each year about 300 people die because organs have not arrived in a timely manner. We ask that when you're alive and well, good blood, when you're no longer here, give organs. And when you've done those two things, you would have made a positive impact upon society, considering the fact that one person can provide life or improve the quality of life for 25 individuals.
One person goes to 25
yes.
different organs and tissue.
Yes.
Wow.
And so to answer your question about the young people, we introduced a bill in the Illinois General Assembly that was passed and signed and went into law on January 1, where 16 and 17-year-olds can sign to become a part of the organ and tissue donor program. And, of course, we cannot extract those organs while they're 16 or 17 unless we get permission from the parents. Right now, prior to the enactment of the bill, only 18-year-olds on up could sign up.
Adults.
So we had 6.4 million adults to sign up. Now with the 15,000 young people who have signed up since January 1, our numbers have increased, and eventually we will be the largest organ and tissue donor program in the country.
Congratulations.
When my mom died, it was a very, very difficult time for our family, Jesse. And the one good thing that came out of it is that we knew we were donating her organs and that some people could benefit from it. It really brought solace to our family. I hope most people or more people are of that same like mind, you know?
Well, I like what you just said because I see it a lot that it's a good feeling that once your loved one is no longer with you, that the organs are living in the body of someone else,
right?
Rather than deteriorating elsewhere.
It right. keeps them alive in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely in spirit, but these items definitely keep your loved one alive.
Sure. Now, we honored a doctor at the Lola Medical Center. She gave her patient her kidney. Can you imagine a doctor giving her patient
wow.
her kidney?
That's a good doctor.
A wonderful doctor. And then we honored a teacher in New Lenox, Illinois. She gave her student her kidney. And then one of my Thomas was shot and killed coming out of the Ford City Mall Theater. And as a result of that tragic situation, six of his organs were used for transplantation purposes. So there are six people who are living today as a result of the generosity of this young man and this young man's family. And then, of course, when you look at all the other people who have lost their lives or have died, but yet they said, we want to give someone else a second chance
yeah.
or help them improve their quality of life.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing to do.
You've seen these stories. Every once in a while, you'll hear a story about somebody. Somebody doesn't know somebody, but they know they need a kidney. They find out through some third-party means that somebody needs an organ, and they just donate something like that.
To an anonymous person.
Yeah. How about that?
It's quite a person
yeah.
and quite a gift.
It really is. Every one of those stories is so amazing.
If you'd like to find out more, lifegoes.com, is that the best place to tell people to go to?
www.lifegoeson.com or 1-800-210-2106, 1-800-210-2106, or they can come to one of my 138 Secretary of State facilities and indicate they'd like to become a part of the organ and tissue donor program.
I've been going to those places a lot. I have an 18-year-old son who just got his license. I have a 15-year-old who's going through driver's ed now, and we have to go get his permit. Can I ask you a question? Why are kids not as excited to drive as both Bill and I were? 16th birthday, I got my license. Bing, bang, boom, done.
You're not alone.
Why is this, though? Same.
I don't know. Because public transportation is so great here in the Chicagoland area.
Is that what it is?
It must be.
Maybe that's what it is.
I couldn't wait to get my license.
Yeah.
And how do I get my picture upgraded? I don't really like the picture I have on my license right now.
You treat the man's eyes well.
What a nice thing to say, Jesse. Thank you so much. Jesse White is here. He's the Secretary of State for this state, for Illinois. If you have any questions or comments, we're so easy to reach. 312-981-7200. We'll pick this up in just a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. The Secretary of State is here, Jesse White. We were just talking about how in the old days, before you were Secretary of State, you'd go in to get your license renewed on a Monday morning, and then by the end of business day on Thursday, you were done. 3 or 4 days later, you're out the door. You've changed all that. You've streamlined the process.
Well we're proud of the fact that when you come to the Secretary of State's office, you no longer have to bring your duffel bag, sleeping bag, or your lunch pail. We try to get you out in a timely manner. If you are pregnant, disabled, or senior citizen,
mm-hmm.
we bring you to the head of the line.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope that the people within the sound of my voice who are at one of my facilities happen to see these individuals being escorted to the front, they should know the rest of the story.
Right, right.
We want to show them some love because one day you may fall into that same category.
Yep. You have streamlined the process like no one's ever seen before. I can't imagine how you did it.
Well, I just want to thank the people of the state of Illinois for allowing me to serve for 19 years as the Secretary of State. I just believe that when you take on a job, you take on the responsibility that goes with it. I'm for my military. I don't take any prisoners.
Yep. Good for you.
I have a question for you, Mr. White. I want to get Blackhawk's license plates for my car. Can I keep my current license plate and just pay the difference, or do I have to get a whole new plate and a whole new set of numbers?
You have to get a whole new set of
license
plates.
I told you, Bill.
Yeah.
Let me share with you what happened. When the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup a couple of years ago, I went to Mr. Wirtz. And I asked him if he would allow me to make a license plate in the image of the Blackhawks. And he said, yes. He said, well, that's good. And he said, will you charge more money? I said, yes, a little bit more. And he wanted to know, can the extra money go toward his kids program? I said, no, they're going to go to my kids program. He said, what is your kids program? I said, the Common School Fund. So right now, if you want to get a Blackhawks plate, or Bulls,
White Sox,
Bears, White Sox, Cubs, You have to pay an additional $25, and the $25 will go to the Common School Fund. The number one license plate out there is the Blackhawks plate.
How about it?
Number two is the White Sox. Number three, the Cubs. Number four, the Bears. And last, the Bulls.
That surprises me. First of all, I'm surprised the Bears aren't last because they're not doing much
last
for us. But the Bulls, God, remember when the Bulls were everything?
I remember them quite well. Matter of fact, we do halftime for the Bulls on a regular basis with my team. And then, of course, there's another group of young people who do the slam dunk.
Yeah.
Those are my kids as well.
Yeah. Really entertaining.
Do you get a lot of requests for Bill and Wendy show plates? I bet you do, right? Not that many?
I think after this broadcast.
Sure, the number will go way up.
What a selection, though. You don't have to be a sports lover. You have the Route 66. There are so many different options for the license plates now.
You're absolutely correct.
Love it.
But we sometimes individuals will get a ticket, maybe license plate number 25.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are 25 in every series, but you have as a designator.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe be AD on the side or DM on the side, whatever the case may be. That along with the 25 will help you to get to the right person.
Oh.
And it's called Pick a Plate, and you can go to, where did I go? Illinois Secretary of State's
office, Pick a Plate section.
A couple of quick things, Jesse, before you go. Thing number one is I'm so worried on a daily basis of what's going on the roadways with people texting and driving and talking and driving. And I know you are, too, because we've made some motions under your rule as Secretary of State to try to eradicate that a little bit. Talk about that,
yes,
please.
I introduced a bill in the Illinois Journal, something that was passed and signed by the governor a few years ago, which put a ban on use of cell phones in school zones or in construction zones.
Yeah.
And then we decided to double down and make it a total ban.
Yeah.
Same thing held true with texting while driving.
Yep.
I just wish it was enforced more because I know it's a law, but I've not had a day in the last 2 or 3 years where I don't see some people just texting while holding up their phone and texting while they're trying to navigate the roads.
And the process of trying to navigate on our roads, they are holding up traffic.
Yeah.
And they are putting themselves in a posture by which they can create an accident.
Yep. Yep.
They won't stop, though. And, of course, when the ban went into effect where it could be hands-only, or hands-free, rather, not hands-only.
Hands-free.
I'm the only one who gets stuck on Lakeshore Drive and got a ticket.
Oh.
It was like the first week that law was enforced, I get a ticket, and now I see people with the phone right
constantly
up to their ear talking.
Can you deputize me? Because I would like to help. I would like to go from city to city.
That's under consideration.
All right, thank you, sir. That's all I ask.
It'd be like the Barney Fife.
The other thing I'm curious about is there was a time where on your driver's license, on the back of your driver's license, there was a space if you wanted to be an organ donor, you just signed it, and then it was simple. But it's not on there anymore.
Well, we found out that because of the stress of the moment or the thought of losing their loved one, 20% of the people did not consider or allowing the loved one's organs to be used for donation purposes. So we've gone to what is called first-person consent. If you say you want to become a part of the organ and tissue donor program, by you indicating to us that you want to be, we will honor your wish.
Oh, okay, good, good.
And can we register and find out more information? LifeGoesOn.com, is that the place to send people?
That's exactly right. LifeGoesOn.com, or they can call 1-800-210-2106, or they can come to one of my 138 facilities and indicate they'd like to become a part of the organ and tissue donor program.
And congratulations for adding the 16 and 17-year-olds eligibility now, of course, with parents' permission, but we're just making this bigger and bigger.
These young people are fabulous. You know, with all of the social problems that are happening today, they're out letting their voices be heard. I applaud, commend, and thank them for their involvement, and also applaud and thank them for their participation in the organ and tissue donor program.
Perfect. Please tell us you're going to keep doing what you're doing. You're not retiring anytime soon,
well,
right?
Well, I'm up for re-election.
Yeah.
And if I'm successful.
Which you will be, I'm sure.
That'll give me another 4 years. So
good.
I spent 16 years as a lawmaker representing this district.
Yeah.
6 as the Cook County Recorder of Deeds. 19 as the Secretary of State. 10 years in the military. 8 years professional baseball. 33 years as a teacher, 59 years as coach and founder of the Jesse White Tubman team, and yet I'm not 100 years old.
We've got got to up our game a little bit.
A little bit.
Good
just
golly.
A little bit. Boy, that's a lot. Do you ever miss playing baseball?
Not with my age.
No?
But I love the game.
Yeah.
But my greatest game was basketball.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
You're an amazing man. You really are. Never cease to amaze us.
Well, thank you very much, Wendy.
So good to see you, Jesse. Keep up the good work.
Bill.
And any time you want to come by, our door is always open, which is why people keep stealing stuff from us.
Well, Bill, Bill as they say in my neighborhood, you the man.
Thank you, Jesse. Thank you.
And Wendy, thank you.
All right, quick break, and then we'll be back. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. Thank you, Steve. Steve is a voracious reader. I know that. I like to read pamphlets. That's about as good as I go.
No, that's it? That's your limit? Pamphlets?
I like to read. I don't have a lot of time for it. I know when I was in school and you were forced to read a book, I hated having a time limit. You're supposed to read for pleasure on your own.
Right.
But now there's this new thing called an audiobook where, you know, perhaps you have a commute into work and you don't have time to read. Perhaps you could listen to an audiobook. And we have an award-winning audiobook narrator, Jane Entwistle, in the studio with us. Jane, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Be honest with me. Were you always, did you always love to read?
Oh, yeah. I was a voracious reader as a kid. You know, back then when you could leave your kid in the car for 3 hours, just give me a book and I would be fine. My parents didn't have to worry about me.
Now, you are a freelance audiobook narrator. A lot of the work you do is for the Penguin Random House audio. I got to be honest with you. I heard about your availability to come in. I want to be a narrator. I want to read audiobooks. Is there room for other people, or do you have the market cornered?
Oh, no. It is a multi-billion-dollar industry that's growing every year. It's just gaining popularity. So, you know, we need good readers.
Why do you think it's doing what you just said? It does. It gets bigger and bigger every year. So what's behind that, do you think?
Probably time. I feel like everyone's busier, spending more time in the car, or there's more things going on. The great thing about an audiobook is you can pop it in and cook dinner.
Right.
You can't really read and cook dinner. You certainly can't read and drive. I wouldn't recommend it.
Although, don't you see people doing
people
it sometimes?
Have done it. People have done it.
Stupid.
Now, can I suggest something? And I don't mean this negatively, although it'll sound negative. I think people's attention spans are such now that it's easier for them to hear a story than it is to actively move pages and read a story. Do you agree with that or disagree with that?
I do agree with that.
Yeah,
I think there's so many things pulling our attention.
Yeah.
So, you know, listening to a nice 20-minute pop of audiobook while you're doing something else certainly satisfies reading. I don't think it's cheating. Some people think it's cheating.
It's not cheating.
It's not cheating.
It's not cheating.
If you can get a kid to read, like I said, when I read all the classics in school, To Kill a Mockingbird, The Great Gatsby, I wouldn't have read them on my own. But I hate having a time limit hanging over my head. And I'll confess, I did a little bit of the Cliff's Notes reading every once in a while. But now if kids could listen to a book on their phone, which is pretty much in their hand anyway, I feel like they're going to do a better job of finishing the book.
Well, that's true. And also studies are saying that children can listen to an audiobook at least two grades higher than their reading comprehension.
How about that?
Yeah.
Because they don't stop and say, I don't know what that word or phrase means.
Exactly.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Exactly. And when words are used in context, the meaning becomes clearer.
Oh, sure.
And then they're also learning how to say words that they wouldn't. That's why we have to be so good at pronouncing everything correctly.
Yeah. You also have an advantage in that you have a great British accent. If Keira Knightley read any book, I don't care what book it is, I would buy it and listen to it. Can you make that happen for me?
I'll see what I can do.
So a lot of times when I go to a bookstore and they have a section of audiobooks, many times it's the author themselves who's doing the reading. Mm-hmm. How does a publisher decide when to go with the actual author and when to bring you in?
I think that is up to the author. I don't know. But I think if an author wants to read their book and has the skill to do it, because it's hard. People think, you just walk in with the book, right, and sit down and read it.
Right.
No.
Or else they'll get Patrick Stewart. They'll get a celebrity, and they'll read the book. And that's always fun, too, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
John Hamm is mentioned here. He's done some audiobooks. Nick Offerman, Helen Mirren.
I read John Hamm read Green Eggs and Ham, and it was the most incredible experience of my life, Wendy.
I have no time for you today. I have no time. How many books have you narrated? Because someone has just texted us and said, Jane Entwistle, she's wonderful. I've listened and love her work.
Oh, thank you.
How many books have you narrated?
I'm not sure.
Ballpark.
Ballpark, maybe 75, which is actually very little.
Yeah, that's
is
not,
it?
I expected thousands.
But each book, to read an entire book, you say 75, but it's got to take a week or two just to get through the book, right?
Yeah.
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 How do you prep for the story?
Well, I have to read it. I mean, going into a studio without reading a book would be like driving in LA without Google Maps. Mm. I mean, just
all right,
a
I'm
night,
out then.
Just
I'm
a
out.
Nightmare. No, you have to read it first. And the reason why is because there's tons of words I don't know how to say, so I have to research them mm-hmm. and figure them out. You know,
otherwise, it's a waste of your time. It's a waste of the person recording's time.
Yeah.
You got to just roll through it.
Yeah.
And then you also probably add notes for inflection and yep. when to pause, when to go faster. Yeah, that's all in there too.
Yeah, and then also sometimes we're doing 45 plus characters in a book. I have to do all the voices.
Holy moly.
And I do a lot of children's books, so there'll be talking wolves. Yeah. And,
which would sound like what?
It's got to get really rough like this.
Like sounds
really
like a wolf.
Down.
That's very scary.
Does that sound like a wolf?
That sounds like a wolf to me.
Yeah.
I'm envisioning a wolf.
Yeah.
Or Wendy when she first wakes up in the morning.
Okay. But that wolf was not British.
Your wolf is not British.
Come on. Everyone knows that wolves are American.
Native American, that's right.
Right, that's true. Good point. Very good point. What's been the biggest, of all the books, of all the 75, which has been the most challenging for you?
Oh, boy. There was a book that I did that had a Chinese accent, French, Canadian, American, British, Polish, German.
Wow.
I mean, the list of accents just went on and on and on. And it was fantasy, so many made up words that were really difficult to say.
Yeah.
And that was very challenging.
Jane Entwistle is here. No relation to John Entwistle.
No, but my dad's name is John. And we're obviously English.
Yeah. So you're probably related.
We're probably.
Yeah, probably.
John Entwistle's, bless him, because, you know, obviously
yes.
he's
yeah.
passed. His daughter is named Jane, I believe.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, yeah. It's weird. There's like a whole doppelganger
I
Entwistle
know.
Thing going on.
Mm-hmm. There is. It's
We've heard her wolf. Not good. She came in for half an hour, just did wolf noises. Boring.
You know, I'm thinking about all these accents and dialects. Is this something that you had in your vernacular or in your bag of tricks for a while, or do you have to learn these accents to do it?
Some of them I have to learn. I'm kind of a mimic.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I was waiting tables, if I had someone in from New York, forget it. It was
really?
Like, so you want more coffee? You know, it's terrible. So some of them come really naturally.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, I could just as easily do this interview in my American accent.
Oh,
you know,
look at that.
Convincing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But some
Very
of them,
convincing.
Some of them I have to practice.
You've taken an acting class or two along the way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'd have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm out. I really wanted to narrate
you
books.
Should
but
do
if
it.
Do it.
You can do it.
Well, you have brought some scripts that Bill and I can read. Can we take a break and come back and can we audition for you?
I would love it.
Oh, see, I don't know some of these words.
Well, that's it. That's the rub.
She's only given us a paragraph or three and
did you ever do this in grade school when you come to a word you didn't know, you just skip it?
People go, all right,
wait,
well, we'll try
that. Where'd that word go?
You can't do that.
No?
No.
You're going to do some auditioning,
I am, too. Uh-oh. All
right. You should. See, the reading kids' books is what I would like to do, because it would only take me about 5 minutes to read the kid book. You know, like Goodnight Moon.
Hmm.
Somebody's got to read that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something that short on an audio book, or why bother?
I'm not sure. Most of the children's books I do
are lengthy.
Yeah, they take me a couple of days to record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not easy work. No one thinks it's easy, I hope.
Oh, people do.
It's yeah. not easy.
People
There's
think
no
we
way.
Just, you know, like I said, waltz in.
Just
and,
show up.
But now it's. And I'm in the studio for about 6 hours.
Yeah.
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 People just think you're laying in bed in your jammies reading a book with a microphone. That's not how it goes.
Yeah. I wish it was how it goes.
My wife does voiceovers and she's done video games. And the trick with that is that there's no one way storyline, it branches out into different options as the game goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And it can take weeks or months to do a single video game because of that.
Oh, I imagine.
Which takes forever.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break and then more of this. Stick around. Oh, if you want to jump in, you can. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill and Wendy at 720 WGN. We're visiting with Jane Entwistle, award-winning audio narrator, freelance artist, but a lot of her stuff goes through Penguin Random House, and you can go to penguinrandomhouseaudio.com. When did audiobooks make the big boom?
How long
has it been?
It's been probably about at least 12 years.
But they were around before that, just not overly popular the way they are now. Because I always remember you could go into a bookstore and find a shelf or two of a couple of books. But now it's just, it's taken off like crazy.
Oh, yeah. Gangbusters.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. No, well, I've been doing this for about 11 years. So yeah. Before that, even. Yeah. Maybe even 15.
Is it as big around the world as it is in the United States? Or do we corner the market on that?
I think we probably corner the market.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, certainly other countries, Germany's doing a lot of audiobooks.
Yeah.
Certainly a lot of other countries are doing them, but I think we've probably
The U.S. is the place to be. Yeah.
Now, are you going to be part of AudioCon 18 at the Beloit Public Library?
I sure am.
We ask all of our guests that question. You're the first person to say yes. What is that exactly? What goes on there?
Well, it's a whole day at the public library dedicated to all things audiobooks. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be listening stations. I'm doing a little workshop with kids and adults if they want. We're going to do some reader's theater. There's going to be some panels. Dion Graham is a wonderful narrator. He's going to be there doing some talks. Great
With
day.
The exception of you and Dion Graham, who is the Babe Ruth of audiobooks? Who's the one man or woman that everyone goes, that's the best right there?
Oh, boy. There's so many. And you'll get me in trouble, because we're all friends.
Oh.
Scott Brick. Kirby Hayborn, wonderful narrators. Cassandra Campbell.
And they're good because they have the ability, like you said earlier, to shapeshift a little bit, to do voices, to do inflections, to do characters. That's the key to this, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
See, I have nothing in my arsenal.
Oh, that's not true.
I don't have characters. I'm pretty much the same all the time. There's a voice competition going on at this AudioCon 18, and that's going to put the pressure on people. We're going to have our own voice competition right now. You and I are going to audition for Jane to try and be audiobook narrators. What do I need to know about this first piece?
Okay, this is...
Please do tell.
I will. Now, this is from the very first book I ever did, and it's called The Sweetness at the Bottom of the Pie by Alan Bradley.
Mm.
I've done 9 books in this series. They're about an 11-year-old English girl named Flavia Deleuze who solves mysteries, mostly murders, with her incredible knowledge of chemistry.
Wendy, this is you all over. You just described Wendy's life story.
They're adult books. They're not kids' books, although certainly young adults appreciate them. So in this excerpt that I've gathered for you, Flavia, who's 11, remember that, is talking to Inspector Hewitt about a body that's just been found in the vegetable garden.
Jane, would you prefer that Wendy use a British accent for this?
Of course,
yeah,
if she
can.
Yeah,
you have to.
Can you, Wendy?
I will certainly try.
Oh.
I'm 11 years old.
Oh, how great.
It's like being home, isn't it, Jane?
It is.
Yep.
I stepped forward eagerly, almost salivating for a closer look. I wonder, Flavia, Inspector Hewitt said, stepping gingerly into the cucumbers, if you might ask someone to organize some tea? He must have seen the look on my face. We've had rather an early start this morning. Do you think you could manage to rustle something up? So that, I don't know where to go now.
I see you written on your paper, good God help me. What is that? What does that mean? Why would you print that?
All right, well, you finish it. So that was it. I don't know who's talking there. I guess that's Flavia.
No, that
was Flavia.
That was Inspector Hewitt.
Oh.
Do it with a Jerry Lewis voice.
Flavia.
Just do that and see what happens.
You do that. You should be the inspector.
So that was it. And at birth, so as at death, without so much as a kiss me quick and mind the marmalade, the only female in sight is enlisted to trot off and see what the water is boiling. Rustle up something, indeed. What did he take me for? Some sort of a cowboy?
I'll see what can be arranged, Inspector, I said. Coldly, I hoped. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't even know who.
You're supposed to read the whole thing. You have to do all the voices.
Every voice, Wendy.
Oh, I'm finished. I'm done.
Oh, Wendy's out.
Just finish it, because heard you're Hewitt. You were very good.
Well,
I had some droll rings.
I've played Inspector Hewitt on the stage for many, many years, Jane, so I was at something of an advantage. Obviously, Wendy and I, this is the first time we've done this. Thank you. Yeah, that was the word I was looking for. So what? Give us a note or two. What should we do more of and less of?
Well, maybe make it a little bit more normal.
See, that's my problem. I turn into an announcer. You want it to be very
conversational.
Casual. Yeah.
A bit more conversational.
Does everything revolve around Jerry Lewis? Because her name is Flavia. And then in this next excerpt, next morning I was busy among the flasks and flagons.
Flasks and flagons. How quickly would somebody return their audiobook if Wendy and I were narrating it? Quickly, right? Somebody go into a bookstore and they go, there's a line over there, and there'd be 80 people in line for people who bought our book.
Oh, bless.
The problem with characters, though, and you do need to be an actor. I wanted to do voiceover work, and I'm serious. I'm like one take, but all the same. So I took some acting classes to try and do characters. I have nothing in me to do a character. Everything sounds exactly the same.
Well, but have you practiced?
Not recently, but I did. I really did try to practice.
Here's my best tip, okay? If you spend any time at all in the car, narrate what you see as you're driving.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Trying different voices.
Yeah.
Because in your car, you're alone, you're safe. So, you know, you could try, like, just, yeah, it's 10 o'clock in the morning.
God, she sounds just like me. Isn't that weird?
That does sound like you. Do the wolf eating Wendy. I want to hear that.
All right, go back to your, it's 10 o'clock in the morning.
There's a taxi cab. It's orange. I see it coming down the street. Oh, look, there's a lady with a pink jacket on and black pants. I love her blonde. Just narrate what you see, or narrate the billboards or the street signs.
And then it becomes more natural, doesn't it?
Because you have to hear yourself doing it.
Yeah.
That you don't want the first time you hear yourself doing something to be when you're on the microphone.
Oh. Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm. Very nice.
You are really good. I could sit there and listen to you talk about these little stories in your head all day.
Oh, thank you.
Really good.
Thank you.
She's Jane Entwistle. And how do people find you on social media? Are you out there?
I am. So I'm on Twitter, which is The Jane Show, and my name is spelled J-A-Y-N-E, so The Jane Show, and my website is thejaneshow.net.
Very nice.
And thank you. Like to go to the Beloit Library, where is Beloit again?
That's in Wisconsin.
BeloitLibrary.org. You can find out information on AudioCon 18, and that's taking place what day?
On Saturday.
Looks like a fun time.
It should be a good time.
Pleasure to meet you, madame.
Thank you very much for
having
me.
Thanks, Jane. Really appreciate it. A quick break, some news, then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's not unusual.
This song makes me want to do a costume change when I hear this. For some reason, I want to change costumes.
Makes me want to throw my panties at you.
Oh, my goodness.
I hate that word. Underwear.
Yeah, either way, I'm going to complain to management, no matter what you throw at me. How about this? You know, you use the English language almost every day, don't you, Wendy?
Not regularly.
Not correctly, but you do use it in some form. I have found this. These are slang terms, fun slang terms from around the country. I will throw you the slang term in the region. See if you can tell me what it means.
All right?
If I was in Alabama and I said a Coke, what would that refer to? I wanted
any
a Coke.
Any kind of soda pop.
Anything.
Whatsoever.
That's it exactly.
I got it.
For some reason in Alabama, they'll say, I'll have a root beer Coke, or I'll have an orange Coke.
Really?
Yeah. Instead of just, I'll have a root beer or an orange, they just throw Coke on at the end.
We went to Georgia one summer, and everyone there was saying Coca-Cola, not Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola.
I'll have a Coca-Cola.
Oh. I don't know what's behind that.
An orange Coca-Cola.
It also mentions that some people in Alabama, if they want to order a Pepsi, they will say, I will have a Pepsi Coke.
I love that. Why, that doesn't sound foreign to me for some reason.
No,
it should.
All right. Well, we here in the Midwest, we're always at odds over whether we should refer to it as soda pop or soda pop.
I say soda.
I've always said, we grew up saying pop. but I've heard all three. It's a soda, it's a pop, it's a soda pop. All right, in Alaska, if I use the term sourdough, what am I referring to?
Bread.
You would think, right? Alaskans, it says, in Alaska, a slang term for everyone.
What?
That's a clue for everyone. Newcomers to Alaska are called Chicago, but Alaskans who have lived in the state their whole lives are referred to as sourdough. If you are a lifelong resident of the state of Alaska, the slang term in Alaska is a sourdough.
Chicago, isn't that where
that's
we're
where
from?
We live. The name, because the nickname for California Klondike miners at the turn of the century was sourdough, they've relied on that ever since.
That's interesting.
In Arizona, if I said a swamp cooler, what am I referring to? A swamp cooler?
A swimming pool.
It's another word for an evaporative cooler. So now you're asking, what is an evaporative cooler? I am too. If you live in the drier parts of the West, keep in mind this is Arizona, you probably already know that this is an air conditioner that uses the evaporation of water to both cool the air and add moisture to it, thus a swamp cooler.
See, but that seems strange to me because there is no swampiness in Arizona. Isn't it very dry?
But they're saying you're using your air conditioning unit to provide the feeling of a swamp.
Okay.
You know,
right.
Swamp cooler.
That's weird.
Now, I've heard this phrase and didn't know what it meant. So now maybe I'm learning something, too. In Arkansas, if you hear cattywampus, what is cattywampus?
That is a big to-do.
Yes.
Like a melee of
like
an event.
Huge party of some sort, maybe. Cattywampus or cattywonkers or cattywonked are all terms for sideways, unconventional, or askew. If something is cattywampus, that means it just ain't right.
So the Jimmy Mac did not make the bed today. The covers were all cattywampus.
Technically, yes, but I think the phraseology might need to be tweaked a little.
How do you cattywampus?
I don't. I'm not allowed to.
How would you use it?
I can't. I'm not allowed to at all. This one, I bet you'll get. My money's on you to get this. In California, if somebody says hella, H-E-L-L-A, what are they saying?
Like a hell of a good time.
It says, when you say hella, which is popularized by Gwen Stefani in the song Hella Good, it's slang term for very or really or a lot.
Like a hell of a good time.
A hell of a lot of something, yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that kind of what I said?
Yeah, you got that one. You get credit on that
one. Gwen Stefani gets credit for that?
It says Gwen Stefani, yeah. You can appeal these if you want to appeal.
No, I'm starting to really like her because I've fallen in love with Blake Shelton, and that's who she's seeing. And I watch The Voice. He's awesome. He seems so sweet and wanting to help these people, and he's funny, and he's talented. What is he doing with her?
Now, that does not show me that you're falling in love with her. That shows me just the opposite.
No, I've fallen in love with him. That's what
I'm
saying.
But just by proxy,
I'm like, if he likes her, then I guess she must be okay.
Yeah.
But I can't believe the two of them are together.
It's true. I saw it in The Enquirer. In Colorado, what is a pow-pow?
A meeting.
Pow-pow may sound like a noise that a little toy gun would make, but it's actually a very important thing in Colorado. It's the fresh powder that falls on the mountaintops.
No one calls it pow-pow.
I have skied many times, and I have heard people refer to it as pow-pow.
Fresh powder.
This? Yeah, in Colorado.
That's
when you're skiing.
They're high.
Yeah.
They call it pow pow.
You know who calls it that? The popo. The police in Colorado, the popo call it pow pow. My tongue refusing to cooperate on that.
No wonder.
You know, there's signs up on the mountain that says, you know, fresh pow pow.
Yeah.
Everybody come get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like
it. It's a big thing, Wendy.
Yeah. That's lame. Just say powder.
They won't let you ski if you say powder.
Pow pow.
They take away your badge. You have to abide by the law.
That bugs me as much as people calling Chicago Chi-Town.
Because no one local does it. It's always out-of-town people. It's like Frisco. If you go to San Francisco, the natives never, ever, ever say Frisco. San Francisco.
But the natives in Colorado say pow-pow?
Yeah.
They shouldn't. Yeah.
They do.
I want an appeal.
All right. You can file an appeal. In Connecticut, what does this mean? A pizza. All one word. A-P-I-Z-Z-A. What is a pizza in Connecticut?
A pizza.
Final answer?
Yeah, you're going to order a pizza.
Connecticut has some truly incredible pizza, and people from New Haven or people who are familiar with people from this region will call pizza a pizza, but it's pronounced differently. It's pronounced a beets, A-B-E-T-Z. It's a Neapolitan-style pizza. The best pizza pies come with claims on them, and trust us, this is among the best pizzas in America. It is pronounced a beets, even though it is spelled a pizza.
Like gabagool.
Not unlike
it.
Yeah.
Because they're
very
a
much
beets.
Like that. Yeah, right.
I get it.
What does this mean in Delaware? Bagging up. If someone's bagging up, what are they doing?
They are packing to go on vacation.
Although it might sound like what a cashier does with your groceries after scanning them, this Delaware term actually means something very different. It means to laugh uncontrollably.
I'm bagging up.
Bagging up.
That's stupid.
I don't know why they call it that. In Florida, you'll get this one. What is a sun shower?
When it rains and the sun's out?
It says, you know that brief 15-minute rainstorm that happens every day around 3 o'clock while the sun is still out? Then you must not be from Florida. This is a very specific weather, and it's when one cloud bursts into rain, and it's probably right over your head, but don't worry, you can walk 50 feet away and then be dry again. When we would vacation in Delray Beach, you could look down the beach, and you could see there'd be one cloud, and it would be raining.
It almost looked like a cartoon, because it was a cloud, and you could see like lines of rain coming down. It happens every once in a while here.
Not as much,
right,
but every
seems
once
like
in
every
a great
day
while.
In Florida. It happens like that in Maui, too. It always rains, and you can walk across the resort,
and
it's not
so
raining
sunny.
There. Yeah,
isn't that crazy?
I think it has something to do with the ocean.
Yeah, it would. Yeah,
because I have seen it happen here where you're driving like on the expressway somewhere, and in the distance you can see a cloud.
Right, exactly,
it's very
what it is.
Weird. Yeah.
The year that I was a kid and we went to the Wisconsin Dells.
The year you were only a kid for a year?
No.
The year I was a kid.
The year that we went to the Wisconsin Dells when I was a kid. When we were driving back, there was a part on our route back where it was so stormy and then completely sunny, like within a yard.
So you would drive through it and the windshield wipers were on, and then all of a sudden it was like, whoa, look at the birds are singing.
Crazy.
That is weird.
And you can't pin that on the ocean, Wendy. I refuse to have you pin that on the ocean.
Can't.
What does this mean in Georgia? Now, I have to spell this one because I'm not sure how to pronounce it. M-A-M-A apostrophe N-E-M. Oh, actually, I know what this is now because they say this in they say this in New Orleans also.
An M&M.
It does not mean an M&M.
Shut up, Jasmine.
They say this. Now, they're giving credit to the state of Georgia on this, but I've been in New Orleans, and they say this in New Orleans all the time.
Mama Nem?
Very close.
Mama Nem.
It's like if I... All right, so let's say I've known you for a bunch of years, and I see you, and I say, how's your mom and them?
How's your mom and them?
It means that. It means like, how's everybody in your family who's not with
How
us?
How is everyone?
Right. It's their way of saying, yeah, how's your mom and them? Dee, 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 dee. Mom and them. Dee, 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 dee.
My mom and them.
Yeah, my mom and them.
I don't like this.
Like, why would they single out your mom? Why wouldn't they say, hey, how's Glenn doing? How's your uncle? How's your dad?
One can remember anybody's names.
Oh, maybe.
How's your mama doing?
Right.
But why do you, that's a weird thing.
Yeah. Yep. But it does show that they care about somebody's mom, so I give them credit for that.
All right.
Let's take a quick break, and then there's more of these. These are slang terms from around the country and what they could possibly mean. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right. We have found a bunch of slang terms from around the country, some of them very challenging, hard to decipher exactly what they mean or why. This one is a strange one, Wendy, because it's not so much a slang term but a pronunciation thing. The capital of Idaho is spelled B-O-I-S-E.
Boise.
That's how everyone pronounces it unless you live in Idaho. In
Boise.
Which case, it is pronounced Boise. Right. People don't know that because we don't go to Idaho. They have potatoes here. Why do I need to go to Idaho? I go to Jewel or Mariano's. I got a bunch of potatoes here. They pronounce it in Idaho Boise, B-O-Y-S-E-E. I've only heard one person ever say that, and I told them they were pronouncing it wrong, and they said, no, I live there. And I go, well, you're pronouncing it wrong.
Boise, yeah, I don't like it.
I don't know what's behind that.
Well, why do we say Boise? There's no Z in it. It should be Boise.
I guess.
I'm going to change it. I'll never say Boise again.
Similarly, I hope I can say this on the air.
Uh-oh.
In Nebraska, there is a town that I always called Norfolk.
Oh,
but
God.
When you're there, they pronounce it quite differently. And it made me giggle every time. Now, the Illinois one, I would think, because I live here in the state of Illinois.
You do?
Yeah, I live
when
here.
When did you move?
Oh, we've lived here a long time, Wendy.
Oh, congratulations.
I've lived in Illinois a very long time.
I should have sent you a welcome package.
I'm surprised you didn't. So, I'm embarrassed to say I've never heard of this before. What? This will prove.
What?
It's just funny. Woo-wop da bam. Have you ever heard anyone in the state of Illinois say woo-wop da bam?
There's no way.
This phrase was introduced to the rest of America by Chance the Rapper's verse from Kanye West's Ultralight Beam. But this Illinois slang term has been popular, and I'm going to look up the word popular as soon as the show's over, because I don't think it means what it used to mean, has been popular in Chicago for quite a while. It's basically a more fun version of yada, 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 or and so forth and so on. Now, those I've heard many, many times, but yeah. I've never heard the rap version, which is woo-wop-da-bam. I now defer to Jasmine, our producer. Is that a phrase, Jazz, that I've just not been around? What does that mean?
I've heard the song over and over again. That's one of my favorite songs, and I still don't know what that means.
Okay.
Sounds like a line from Grease to me. Like, wop wop luda da wop bam boo.
Right. Yeah. It's right in there. Yeah. Chuck Berry.
No, Little Richard.
Oh, Little Richard. I apologize.
Jeez.
Musical legends for $300? In Indiana, they have this word, ope. O-P-E.
Opie.
Is it Opie?
That's a nickname for Opie.
When something small but silly or startling or surprising happens, you will hear a little O-P-E exclamation point. Somewhere between oops and uh-oh, this phrase is a charming explanation, and it's guaranteed that somebody grew up in the Midwest.
That's so charming.
Ope? Really? With an exclamation? Ope? I don't know. I've never heard that.
They're lying.
What does this mean in Iowa? Padiddle. You'll get this one, because we used to have... Backstory, you and I had an intern from the state of Iowa who said this quite often.
Well, didn't it involve the slug bug?
Yes. Very good memory. Do you remember this?
Yeah. Was this Shauna?
Yeah, Shauna, our intern from Iowa. I don't remember what town in Iowa, but we called her the Padiddle Girl because she asked us why we never played Padiddle. And we said, because there's laws in this state. I don't know what goes on
but
in Iowa.
But we did. We just called it slug bug, right?
Yeah. So this is when you see a certain car, usually a Volkswagen, you get to just wail on who was ever sitting by you.
Who came up with these stupid
You know who's
games?
Awful this game? Sister Jean. I creamed her. 16-4. Not even close. Padiddle.
That's
so
cute.
That's the rule. You decide on a car, you're driving around, and then when you see the car, you call it out and you get to punch somebody really hard.
Let's do it later with a Prius. We'll be punching each other
quietly.
Right and left.
We'll punch each other yes. Very quietly so no one can hear it. I know you know this one. This is popular in Kansas. Shucky darn.
Aw shucks?
Yeah, that's their version of aw shucks.
Where is this?
In Kansas. Although, I think this has seeped into other parts of the country.
I've never heard that before in my life.
I knew there was a girl in college who used to say it to be adorable. I didn't say it worked. I said,
right,
that was her goal.
My eyes hurt. I rolled them so much
right.
on that.
All right. I'll ask you one more because I know you'll get this one.
You just reminded me of Phil Dunphy, by the way.
Why?
Because just when you said that, she said that thing just so she was adorable.
Yeah.
It was a very Phil Dunphy line.
I hope you get this one right because I know you're a fan. In Kentucky, if somebody has a Kentucky waterfall, what do they have?
They have to go to the bathroom.
No.
That's what a Kentucky waterfall is. It is.
Okay, I lived in Kentucky my whole life. I've never
you don't
heard
know what
this,
a Kentucky
so
waterfall
what
is
it? No.
Well, Wendy's version is what the president is alleged to have in Russia.
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense.
A Kentucky and Kim, seriously, we did the one from Illinois, and I had never heard of it, so don't feel bad.
Okay.
According to them, they say that it is not just a mullet, but a super mullet.
Oh, I guess. Oh.
Well, I mean, I know the cut, but I've and I've seen it many times, but
never referred
I've never
to though
heard
as a Kentucky waterfall.
No,
because it's hair. It's not.
Yeah,
But it's the way the hair cascades in the back.
I like my answer better. It's when you go to the bathroom outside.
Really badly. Now, it says here, and this is unfair, you're from Kentucky, so I feel awful, Kim, that it's described this way, but they said that this is the official signature haircut of the people of Kentucky, and that's not true.
Don't feel bad.
That's not true.
Oh, no, but every hockey player.
There's a lot of people with that
look. I love mullets. Sorry.
It depends on if you can pull it off or not. You know, some people can, some can't.
It looks great on Joe Dirt.
No, it didn't. It honestly didn't. No? I have to be honest with you.
No?
Hey, Sue, what's going on? Padiddle.
Hi. Padiddle is one headlight.
Oh, see, you were wrong. Look, whose memory is not serving them.
No, it's
And the way we played, you would hit the top of the car.
Yes, that's it. Exactly.
One of the bug is when you see a
Volkswagen.
Yeah. Padiddle was one headlight. You don't remember that.
I don't remember that part of it.
I swear to you, I don't remember much from our past together. I'm trying to block it out.
You know what? It's for the best.
But I do remember, Sue, now that you're bringing it up, it was definitely one headlight.
Yeah.
Because we talked about it after we played One Headlight by the Wallflowers.
So if that song comes on, are you allowed to? You can't hit anybody if that song comes on.
They should change it to Padiddle.
We can just hit you. It doesn't matter.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Sue.
Sue, does that come back to you a little bit?
Yeah,
it was one headlight.
I think it does, yeah.
And Slugbug, Paul, what do you got for us?
I had the same thing as the previous caller, that Padiddle was a car with one headlight, and you'd hit the roof of the inside roof of the car. And Slugbug was, you're right along, and the first person to see a Volkswagen Bug would say Slugbug, and then got to hit the shoulder of the person next to him.
That's not a fun game, if you want to know my opinion.
What a cruel game.
I know. My kids still do it.
Can you play both games simultaneously, Paul?
Yes, you can.
You can.
Yes, you can.
Padiddlebug.
Right. Padiddlebug. That's a fun game.
Slugdiddle.
You get to punch the roof of your car as hard as you can. Ouch.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for clearing that up.
All right, let's
see,
take
it.
It was one headlight. All right, we'll take we'll take a quick break.
That's
some news.
No,
it doesn't work.
Shucky duck or whatever.
Careful, please. Please be careful. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points. Dean.
It's the song America loves to sing.
Yes. Yes. And other countries are a little jealous, Dean.
Yeah. You didn't hear the one session when the president of France was here with his wife.
Yeah.
Visiting President Trump and Melania. But during the dinner,
yeah,
he stood up, he made a toast, and said, I would like to sing for you America's favorite song, Dean.
The president of France did this?
He's trying to, suck up to America.
I guess he is.
Right now.
It's working.
Yep.
That's fantastic. I love hearing that. I heard your interpretation, you and Steve Cochran, doing a little back and forth, a little duet of the president and his wife, the president of France and his wife.
Steve and I are doing a two-person show that's going to be touring the
at the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse.
Yeah, it's called We Think We're Funny, But We're Not.
I thought it was very funny.
We think we're way funnier than most anyone else.
Wow, what do people know? No one knows. Dean, before we get into the movies, and specifically one of the most highly touted movies of the year, which is opening, I want to ask you about this weird sex cult. There's an actress from the show Smallville.
Oh, yeah.
Allison Mack. And she was involved in a sex cult. What do you know about this? Anything?
So weird. This whole thing is so creepy and weird. The stories that I've heard now, all the details have been so sketchy about all of this.
Yeah,
that what we know about the story is that she's been trying to recruit other actresses to be to be part of this.
Right.
And really, that's about all we know. It's Allison Mack, who is on the TV show Smallville.
Mm-hmm.
She is alleged to be part of recruiting women into this sex cult vis-a-vis a documentary about a cult that was ordered for television about a sex cult. Really, that's all that I have heard about this. The details are super sketchy about all the things. I don't think there's a lot which is like verifiable that I would be comfortable saying this is exactly what happened, because I don't think really at this point they've determined exactly what's happened.
But some fairly well-known, she was trying to recruit, what's the girl from the Harry Potter movies? I can't think of her name.
Emma Watson.
So her name came up. There are a couple of other names that we would all recognize, and you just say to yourself, if you're this girl, if you're Allison Mack, you have to know there's a lot on the line. You could, your career is done if this is found out, and I guess that's what's happening, right?
Well, there's, you know, talk to Kevin Spacey about that.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, so many
can't
other
find him.
People. Ooh, yeah, that's true. If you can find him,
right.
Ask him, what the hell were you thinking? That's really, that's the question that a lot of us are asking about him and so many others who have been accused. Like, what the hell were you thinking?
Right. Since you mentioned Kevin Spacey, last weekend, Terry and I watched Baby Driver, which we enjoyed immensely.
Oh, I have to see that.
Kevin Spacey's in that. He's so good in that. Yeah. And I thought to myself, that very well could be the last time I ever see him in anything.
That's very true. That's exactly true. And that's a part of the sadness of this whole thing. You know, the ultimate sadness is that he took advantage of people. And people underage, and that's always wrong, no matter what.
Yeah.
But that somebody who is so talented will never, you know, probably will never, you know, give us any more of their talent.
Right.
I just don't. People ask me literally almost every day, do I think Kevin Spacey will ever come back? I just don't know how you recover from something
right.
like that.
Isn't that awful? I mean, it's awful for all parties involved. Yeah. Everybody involved in this loses.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin Spacey just is listening and said, you're damn right it is.
Yeah.
It's bad for everybody.
Yeah.
The weird controversy that's going on right now is with Kanye West getting into this tweet fight first of all, he tweeted how much he likes President Trump.
Right.
He's more than entitled to like President Trump. He said that he thinks he's a great president and that he likes him. Here's the part that I don't exactly I don't understand this logic when somebody says this, that I don't like the person. I don't agree with the person, but mm-hmm. I like them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Kanye says, that he likes President Trump, even though he doesn't agree with them. And nobody can tell him that he can change that. And the reason that he says that is because that President Trump and Kanye are dragon energy. We are both dragon energy. I don't 100% understand what that is.
Me, dragon energy is when I want to lay on the couch and play Candy Crush. That's dragon energy. That's what I would.
Like
not
a dragon?
Not D-R-A-G-O-N.
Is it like Game of Thrones type of dragon, or is it dragging dragon?
In the tweet, it was spelled D-R-A-G-O-N.
Game of Thrones dragon.
Different. That's you got a fire under your butt.
Yeah.
So maybe, well, maybe that's what he means.
Maybe
we both have...
If you need me to interpret
butts.
Kanye anymore, just let me know.
Could you please interpret Kanye?
Maybe they just need preparation H.
But
maybe it's as simple
that's
as that.
That's it. Problem solved.
He says, I love everyone. I don't agree with everything that anyone does. But that's what makes us individual. So that prompted Chance the Rapper, Chicago's very own,
yes.
to tweet, black people don't have to be Democrats.
Huh?
Which, of course, is also everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Right.
That prompted John Legend to tweet.
Oh.
I wasn't that good as Jesus. That's what he tweeted.
He was. No. John Legend tweeted, don't believe what Wendy said just now.
Oh, no.
John Legend said, I love that great, brilliant artists have the power to imagine a better future, but artists can't be blind to the truth.
Oh.
Oh.
Then what did Scoey Mitchell tweet?
He is not
weighing in on this.
The conversation. Scoey Mitchell decided
he refuses
to stay out of the same thing. Ditto with Cleavon Little, as long as you're going back that far.
Although more people have heard of Cleavon Little than Scoey Douglas.
Scoey Mitchell.
Scoey Mitchell.
I went deep on Scoey Mitchell.
President Trump then gets into it because
really?
He can't resist a good tweet
of
fight.
Of course.
Yeah.
He gets into it saying, thank you, Kanye. Very cool.
Oh, my God.
Using street language. Very cool.
Well, Rutherford B. Hayes used to say the same thing all the time. Dean, you know that. Wow. Well, that's quite a chain, isn't it?
It's a very interesting chain of events all set off by the one and only Kanye West, who fired his manager yesterday, Scooter Braun, who represents a lot of big names in music. And people who are close to Kanye think that he may be headed down the same path as a couple of years ago when he had a psychological breakdown, because all of the characteristics of his behavior, they say, the sources say, are very similar to what was happening a couple of years ago.
That's when I feel sorry for him, seriously. Yeah. He's a goof sometimes, and he's a nut job sometimes when he says some things. But when he needs help, that's when I really feel bad for him.
I do, too. I couldn't agree with you more.
Dean,
to me, it's like a desperate cry.
Yes.
I want some attention. I need some help. It's when somebody is seriously, seriously emotionally crippled.
Yep.
And they do something unusual to get attention.
But there's a kinship between he and Donald Trump, because they both have that center of the universe type complex, you know? So I'm sure that they recognize that in each other and maybe even admire that in each other to some extent.
But when they run against each other
for president,
then who's going to, what's going to happen?
Fiery butt versus fiery butt.
No one wants that.
Quote me.
You're quoted. Confused.
Take that,
quoted.
Anderson Cooper, for some political analysis.
All right, let's do this. A quick break, and then Dean will tell us about Avengers Infinity War. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill and Wendy with you on WGN, along with Dean Richards.
Hi, Dean. Entertainment breaking news.
What is it, Dean?
It's just come over.
What is it?
Seconds ago.
Oh.
We now know who the host will be for the 2018 Primetime Emmy Awards.
Oh.
You know, in the past, it's been Tina Fey and Amy Schumer and
Poehler, right?
Colin Farrell. Not Colin Farrell, but Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, Colin Farrell would be interesting.
Nothing whatsoever alike, except their first names both start
Right. That would be a good call, though.
Yeah.
Wait, before you tell us, let us guess.
Oh,
Wendy,
sure.
Who is your guest for who will host the Emmy Awards?
God, I don't know. Don't put the pressure on me.
All right. I'm going to say Vicki Lawrence.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
She's always good.
And to do a quick little rendition, a 2018 updated version
of
The Night the Lights Went Out.
Oh,
Rachel Ray.
Rachel Ray is Wendy's guest.
That's the night that the lights went out in Georgia.
That'd be a great show.
Uh-huh. That's the night that they caught an innocent man. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
2018 version would have to be much more controversial.
Yes, yes.
And then Kanye does a lyric. It's like We Are the World.
Yes.
Except the night the lights went out in Georgia. Take it away, Bieber.
Georgia Engels?
Oh, that's a good guess.
I was doing it.
That's a great guess. Who is it, Dean?
You were still guessing. It's your weekend update team from Saturday Night Live.
Michael Che and Colin Jost.
Exactly right.
Awesome.
I like
that'll
it.
That'll be very good.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
That'll be very good. That's
wow.
going to be in June. Isn't that when they usually have the Emmy Awards?
I think a little later.
A better prepared entertainment report might
you're
have
fine.
Information.
It's just breaking.
You're fine. It just happened.
It's July 12th.
Okay. July the 12th.
July 12th.
We'll be looking forward to this. All right. Here's the big movie. Avengers Infinity War.
Oh.
Everybody's been looking forward to this.
Oh.
It's good news.
Dean loves it, I hear.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah?
Love this movie. Where do I start with this? I mean, I think it's the most spectacular superhero movie that I've ever seen.
Is that true? What was in first place until this movie came along?
I liked the original, the very first Iron Man movie.
Yeah.
I liked the second Avengers movie. I like, you know, I don't know if you want to throw like the old Superman movies and Batman movies into the
fray. I would count both of those among the best.
But, you know, the first Christopher Reeve movie.
Howard the Duck? What about Howard the Duck?
That's great. I don't remember seeing it. I know I did, but
Deadpool, I put in there.
Deadpool was great.
I love Deadpool.
I'm going to see that next week. I'm super excited.
Oh, Deadpool 2.
The next version of that.
Yeah.
But you take whatever was your favorite superhero movie and then multiply.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Anything with pants,
yes.
In my opinion,
yes.
Is a good movie. You take any of those movies and times it by 10.
Really?
That's how impactful this movie is.
Why is that? Is it because of the multitude of superheroes within the movie?
That's
or
part
what?
Of it.
Is that it?
That's part of it. I mean, part of this movie reminded me of the movie It's a Mad, 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 Mad World that starred everybody who was anybody in show business during that period. And part of the fun of the movie was who's going to turn up in the next scene. That's part of what's going on in Avengers Infinity War. There are 29 superheroes in this
really?
Movie from the Marvel Comics universe from the past 10 years of Marvel movies since that first Iron Man movie came out with Robert Downey. So they're all in this movie in some capacity, some more than others. The premise of this movie is that the world, that half of the population of the world is about to be completely wiped out at the hands of the super bad guy in this movie, Thanos.
Don't like him.
Played by Josh Brolin, and played beautifully by Josh Brolin, even though he's all CG'd up and he kind of looks like a Rock'em Sock'em robot in the movie. But he is great, showing both pure evil, but also his reasons for wanting to wipe out half of the population are moving and compelling and emotional, and show an emotional side. And I think that that's part of why, also why I like this movie. It's certainly the bigness of it all, but it's also that this movie has lots of different little subplots and storylines going on, each one quite meaningful, quite poignant, quite special. I say it all the time, if there's not a story, there's not a movie. This one's got so much story and so many little different important storylines happening that all connect at the end, that it's beautifully done. The movie making is beautiful. The special effects are beautiful and not overdone in the movie. But the fact that you've got, you know, this, it's like a smorgasbord table of superstars that never stops in this movie, that just one after another. You've got Black Panther and Thor and Hulk and Captain America, and Benedict Cumberbatch is back, and I think even better than when he starred in his own movie as Captain Fantastic. Who else, everybody, just name everybody, and
they're all in it.
Even the side players
really
are in it, not just the main actors, even the side actors from these different movies.
So Loki is in it,
our president Loki is in,
Bucky is in it,
but here
Thing
is
One and Thing Two,
Opie, Gomer.
Opie's in it, Patsy Weber.
Jeez.
Golly, Iron Man, I'm going to go down to Wally's and get a pop.
He's in it? Everyone's in it.
Yeah.
Shazam.
I don't know if that was Gomer or Goober.
They're both in it.
It was a combo.
It's my hybrid impersonation.
I like it.
Covers all.
It's that good, Dean.
But here's the deal, though.
Yeah.
There are so many surprises and shocks in this movie that's part of the fun of this whole thing. I can't even tell you the number of times in this movie I went, I cannot believe they just did that.
Wow.
I cannot believe this happened or that happened. I don't even want to go any further detail on any of
no,
it.
No, don't say anything else. Just
I don't want to surprise it, but it's so good, and it's, of course, it's a Dean's List day. Here's why I didn't give it an A+.
Because why?
That you really need to be up on your Marvel characters to fully appreciate the nuances of everything. You'll still get it. If you're not up on all your Marvel stuff, you'll still understand everything, but you'll enjoy it even more.
The more you know, the better.
If you understand, the better.
That's so exciting. Exciting.
Dean's List Day, Avengers Infinity War.
Perfect. Dean, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Golly.
Thank you,
Shazam. That's Dean Richards. We'll find out what Steve has next on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.